chapter number 15. Hallelujah. A very familiar passage of Scripture. But just trying to be obedient to the Lord. You know, in a situation like this, there's a lot of different things you could preach. There really is. There's a lot of things in the Bible, a lot of topics in the Bible. A lot of different directions that the Lord could send you. But this morning, I'd like to reach for some lost person this morning. I know you say, well, that doesn't really go with how the service is flowing. Listen, it's always in the will of God to save. Praise the Lord. And we need the Lord to help us this morning. Luke chapter 15, verse number 11. Jesus is speaking. He says, and he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Have you ever been there? And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, praise the Lord, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Praise the Lord. Fear to the Lord, I thank you that you've been here this morning in this service. And Lord, we know that you always come by for a reason. Lord, for a particular purpose. And God, I believe in this service this morning, you've come by for multiple reasons. God, to encourage and to strengthen. Lord, to heal, to lift up the head that hangs low. But God, I believe this morning that you've also come by to save somebody in this service. And I pray that the old-fashioned conviction of the Holy Ghost, Lord, would rest in this service, in this sanctuary this morning. And the anointing of the Holy Ghost would come by to help us, Lord. And we'll give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Praise the Lord. You know, decisions affect every area of our life. Did you know that? You made a decision to be in the house of God this morning. You know, we decide what we're going to eat. We decide what we're going to wear. We decide what road we're going to take to get to work. Decisions affect every area of our life. Decisions determine the course that we're going to take. But decisions don't always turn out good. But sometimes they lead to bad situations. Praise the Lord. And that's exactly where this son found himself. This is a very familiar story to many of us. The story of this prodigal son. But I want to preach to you just for a few moments this morning on the prodigal's decisions. The prodigal's decisions. See, as we look at this familiar story, I want to point out three different decisions that this prodigal made. And I believe that there may be somebody here this morning that you are in the process of making one of these three decisions. Praise the Lord. I will ask the saints of God to pray this morning. But there, I want you to notice the first decision that he made is that he made a decision to turn his back on where he belonged. Verse number 13 says that he took his journey into a far country. Well, here's this young man. He's here in the Father's house. A place of love and a place of plenty. But Brother Kenneth, he chooses to turn his back on it. And he chooses to leave it all behind. And so the Bible says that he goes to his father. And he says, Father, give me the goods that belong to me. Give me the portion that falls to me. Give me mine inheritance, if you will. Oh, but what a foolish decision that we see. Oh, could this young man not see the foolishness of leaving the father's house? But what else could the father do? And he could see that the son's mind was made up. And so he gives him the portion of his inheritance. And that son walks away from everything that he has ever known. If we could talk to that young man this morning, we would beg with him and we would plead with him not to leave the place where he belongs. Oh, if he could just see the disaster that's right down the highway of life. If he could just see what's ahead. If he could just see just a short way, he might reconsider his decision. But the prodigal cannot see the heartache. The prodigal cannot see the anguish. And so he takes his inheritance and he goes into a far country trying to get as far as possible from what he knows is right. Or maybe he had heard of the entertainment of Rome. Or maybe he had heard of the museums of Egypt. I don't know. But whatever the reason was, the prodigal made his way to a far country. And he exchanged the love of the father's house for the lust of the world. He made a decision to turn his back on the very place where he belonged. Oh, we would look at him and we'd say, how foolish for that young man to do it. But I want to tell you this morning that there are people all across this nation and all across this world, even sitting under the sound of my voice, who have made a decision to turn their back on what they know is right. They've turned their back on the house of God. They've turned their back on the people of God. They've turned their back on the Heavenly Father. And instead of living in the house of God, instead of living in the Father's house surrounded by love and blessing, they have turned their back and they have embraced the world. They've walked away from the Father's love and they've went into the far country of sin. Oh, that's exactly where the prodigal found himself. But can I tell you this morning that prodigal son did not belong in the far country, but he belonged at home in the Father's house. Oh, but listen, his destination was determined by the decision that he made. But listen, not only did the prodigal make a decision to turn his back on the place where he belonged, but he also, number two, made a decision to satisfy the carnal rather than the spiritual. The end of verse 13 says that he wasted his substance with riotous living. If a statement could ever be made to sum up the world that we live in, it is that statement right there. For see, you look at the world today and they are wasting their substance on riotous living. Praise God. But that young man took his inheritance and he went into the far country where he began to live it up. He had the money and he had the friends and nothing mattered to him except living the high life. Praise God. He cared more about pleasing the flesh than anything else. He only thought of the here and now, never giving future, never giving thought to the future, never giving thought to what lied down the road, and life was one big party to him. Oh, today that is the situation of so many people in the world. They don't care about anything in life except the next drink or the next high. And listen, they live from good time to good time. But listen, even as that young man was living it up, his fun times were were running out. And the good times were fixing to come to an end. Oh, day after day, his inheritance was dwindling and was almost gone. And then tragedy strikes. Oh, verse number 14 says, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine. Can I just say right here that the enemy will do everything in his power, not just to make you uncomfortable, friend, but to destroy your life. One day your times will run out. One day when you've had your last good time, and tragedy will strike your life. Oh, but the far place is no place to be. When your funds run out and your friends take off and the famine moves in. But here we see this prodigal. He's wasted all of his money. His friends say because he don't have any money, they don't want anything to do with him. And he has nobody to care about him. And we know where that prodigal son found himself. He found himself on the bottom, looking up. Oh, praise God. Help us, Holy Ghost. Oh, but if that wasn't bad enough, he's already on the bottom. And then a famine sets in, and destruction seemed to be imminent for the prodigal son. But I want you to know today that sin may be fun for a while, but there will come a day when you will be stripped of everything, and sin will cost you the high price that it requires. Oh, but here's this young man. The Bible says that he goes and he joins himself to a citizen of the country. And it says that that citizen sent him out to feed the pigs. Now, if you know anything about Jewish custom, pigs were unclean by the Jews. So for him to be around pigs was a disgrace. But this young man probably never thought that his life would ever end up in the pig pen feeding a bunch of hogs. Oh, listen to me this morning. You be careful of the decisions that you make. Because if you're not careful, you'll end up in a mess that you never imagined. Your life will end up in a situation that you never ever dreamed. Oh, you've heard it before, but can I say that sin will take you farther than you want to go. It will take you, keep you longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you are willing to pay. See, sin is no respecter of persons. Sin is not your friend. And its only purpose is to destroy your life. But see, not only is the prodigal broke and destitute and friendless, but he's also starving. Verse number 16 says, and he would have fain filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Oh, what a sad sight that we see. This young man is so hungry. What he thought was going to be a great time in the far country, he finds himself in the pig pen. What a sad sight. He was so hungry that he was willing to eat what the pigs were eating. The very thing that he was feeding to the pigs, he was willing to eat it. Oh, listen, there are people in this world that are so messed up, and they're so far in the far country of sin that they are feeding off of the garbage of this world. But listen, that prodigal made a decision to satisfy the carnal rather than the spiritual. But so far the thought process of this young man has led to one bad decision after one bad decision. But listen, somewhere in the back of his mind, a little voice started talking to him, and he started listening. Because you know what verse number 17 says? It says, and when he came to himself, you know what that phrase means? It implies one that is coming out of a state of insanity. It was insane for him to leave home. It was insane for him to go into the far country. It was insane for him to waste all his money on riotous living. But when we see him in verse 17, he is coming out of an insane state. But listen, he's not there yet. Oh, you may be here this morning and you started towards the Father, but you haven't yet made that final move. Oh, you've been thinking about home. You've been thinking about returning to the Father. But this morning you're still sitting in the pig pen. But listen, if that young man said, I will arise and go to my Father. Praise God. Oh, at what point was that prodigal headed home. Here he is, ankle deep in mud, smelling like pigs and starving. But I want to tell you something. When he came to himself, he still wasn't on his way home. But when he said, "I will arise and go to my father," it was at that point that the prodigal was on his way home. But listen, his decisions had cost him dearly. But that's about to change. For you see, in verse number 20, the prodigal made another decision. The best decision that he ever made. He made a decision to get up out of the mess that he was living in. Listen, verse 20 says, "And he arose." Praise God. He was in a messed up situation. But I want to tell you, he did not have to stay there. Listen, how your life ends up depends on whether or not you choose to stay in the situation that you're living in. Whether or not you can get home depends on whether or not you're willing to get up and get out of the pig pen and get home to where the Father is. Listen to me this morning. The prodigal had no control over the famine of the far country, but he did have control over whether or not he stayed in the far country. But the Bible says that he arose and he came to his father. Praise God. How much resolve is in that statement right there. See, he didn't have to arise. He could have stayed right there in the pig pen because of his pride and because of his shame. But you know what would have happened if he would have stayed in the pig pen? He would have died in the pig pen. But I want to tell you this morning, if you stay in the pig pen of sin, then you will die in the pig pen. But you don't have to stay there this morning. Listen to me this morning. Time Magazine, they did a story on a war-torn country and about the famine that was sweeping. And on the front cover of Time Magazine, they had a picture of a little boy sitting there on the ground. His ribs were showing. You could tell that he was badly malnourished. But what's interesting about that picture is that the photographer in the background behind that little boy had captured a vulture watching him. What was that vulture doing? He was watching to see if that little boy was going to get up. Let me tell you this morning, friend, that there is a vulture watching you in the pig pen. And he's watching to see if you're going to get up. The devil wants to see if you're going to stay in the pig pen. If he can destroy you there, if you don't get up, then you're going to die in the pig pen. But you may be here this morning. You're just like that prodigal. You're tired of the far country. You're tired of being away from the Father's house. You can't stay in this situation forever. You've got to give up. Just like the prodigal did. He had to make a decision to get up and to go to the Father's house. Verse number 20, "And he arose and came to his father." We can picture this young man. Come here. Come here, Thomas. We picture this young man coming as he sits there in the pig pen. Come up here and help me. This young man, he's been in the far country. He's been in the pig pen. But we can see him as he makes that decision. And he gets up from where he's at. And he takes his slop pail up to the main house. And he knocks on the door. And he says, "I'm sorry, sir. Here's your bucket. But I'm going to go home now." I can just see that man looking at him and says, "You're going home, are you? Well, as bad as you look, you smell like pigs." "Thank you, Brother Thomas." He said, "You look like pigs. Or you smell like pigs." And you know what? That young man used my imagination just a moment. He says, "Going home, will you? Well, by the sight and smell of you, if I were your father, I'd turn the dogs loose on you." You know what? I believe that young man could have said, sir, you don't know my father. Praise God. But that prodigal replies with tears in his eyes, "Mister, you don't know my daddy." If with that, that prodigal heads for home. He hits the road, headed for the grace and mercy and security of that father's house. Hallelujah. I can see him with a heavy heart, but with hope burning in his soul as he makes that long walk home. And I can just see him as he tops that last hill. And hope dies within him as he looks at himself with mud caked all over him. And I can just see his steps falter just a little bit. And even slow to a stop as he thinks of the bright lights of home. And dejectedly he sits down and he weeps. Why would the Father receive me again? Oh, that's how somebody is this morning. You came into this service this morning even wondering in the back of your mind, why am I even here? The Father, why would He even want me back? But I want to tell you, in my mind's eye, as that man is sitting, that young man is sitting there on that last rise. Oh, listen, his father, verse number 20 says, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Oh, listen, that father must have been looking every time he went out to get the mail. Maybe he took a look down the highway and day after day after day, when he looked down the road, he had been disappointed. Oh, but no doubt he had done that many times. But today was different. I can just see him as he goes out to the mailbox and he looks down the road and he sees just a speck on the horizon. And he says, I wonder who that could be. And as that figure gets closer, he can tell that it's somebody coming towards him, and he begins to watch, and he said, that looks kind of like my son, but I don't know why he would be here. But as it kind of walks like my son, I can't hardly tell. As that figure gets closer, the Bible says that he saw him. Maybe as he was looking, it looks kind of like my son. I'll just stand. Oh, that is my son. But you know what? He didn't just pull his robe around him and say, he disowned me. He can come to me. No. The Bible says that he saw him afar off and he ran to where he was and he wrapped his arm around him in spite of the filth and in spite of the stench. He wrapped him in a loving embrace. Oh, friend, can I tell you this morning, you may be in this service and you may be away from the Father and you might be in the far country of sin. Oh, but when you came into this service this morning, you were on your way home. Can I tell you that when you were a long way off, the Father saw you and He's come by on a Sunday morning and He's running for you. He's running to where you're at. You might be wounded. You might be scarred. But I want to tell you, the Father is running this morning. He's running to somebody in this service and He wants to wrap you in the loving arms of grace and mercy this morning. Hallelujah. Sweetheart, come help me. The prodigal has come home. Thank you, Lord. What about you this morning, friend? I don't know a lot of the people in here. God didn't speak to me and say, this one's going to be sitting on the third row on the right hand side. God did not speak to me. But when Brother Jones asked me to preach this morning, I knew I was going to be preaching to the lost and the hurting. Friend, I want to tell you this morning, you may be here and you feel like, I've got nothing to offer the Lord. I have wasted my life. Or maybe you never left the church. Maybe you backslid on a church pew, but I want to tell you this morning, the Spirit of God has spoken to you all through this service. You know what it is to be away from the Father. You're just like that prodigal, and you may be in the hog pen this morning, and your life may be in a mess, but maybe the decisions that you've made up to this point have put you in the situation that you're in. But I want to tell you this morning, if you'll make a decision To get up out of the hog pen and run to the Father. If you'll make a decision this morning to come to where the Father's at, He can bring you up out of that situation. He can bring you out of sin into salvation. He can bring you up out of the darkness into His marvelous light. He can bring you up out of that horrible pit that the psalmist talked about. He said, there I was in the horrible pit, in the miry clay. But then he starts testifying about how the Lord brought him out. He put my feet on a solid rock. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Friend, I want to tell you this morning, you don't have to live like you've been living. You know what the prodigal son did? You know when his life turned around? It's when he made his way back to the Father. Listen, with every head bowed and every eye closed, listen to me. The Father did not go into the far country and hunt that boy down. He didn't do that. That young man made a decision to go into the far country. But he also made a decision to leave the far country. Hallelujah. Spirit of God, help us right here. Speak to us, Lord. What about you this morning, friend? Are you going to stay in your situation? Or are you going to get up? You may be sitting there thinking, I'm just not ready yet. I'm not ready to leave the hog pen yet. I'm not ready to go home yet. Let me plead with you this morning. Don't die in the pig pen. Don't stay in the far country too long. Oh, don't you want to feel the arms of the Father? Don't you want that fellowship again? Oh, some of you, you know what it is. Maybe even you once had a relationship with God. But it's not He that walked away from you, but it's you that's walked away from Him. I feel like this morning, here's my altar call. Nobody's looking around. I really feel like this morning that there's somebody in this service. You've been living in the far country. You've walked away from the Father's house. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you if you would step out of your pew and come to this altar. I'll meet you when you get here. I'll pray with you. How about it, friend? Nobody's looking around. Me and God are the only ones that can see you. Would you step out of your seat right now and make your way to this altar? Would you come home? Would you come back to the Father? He's waiting for you. And when I believe when He sees you move, He will run to where you're at. That old song says, if you'll take one step, He'll take two. How about it this morning, friend?
There's just one way that a soul can be lost. You gotta trample the blood, climb over the cross.
Bless you, sister. Nobody looking around.
No, it's not easy to stray. There's a cross.
I wonder if there may be more than one. You've walked away from the Father's house.
There is a cross in your way.
Listen, you don't have to live like that anymore.
There's just one way.
You don't have to live under that burden of sin anymore. Because there is a God in heaven that is waiting with arms open wide.
No, it's not easy to
come on, friend.
There's a cross in your way.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
There is praise a Lord. Cross in your
here's another
way.
One. Hallelujah.
Oh, all of mercy and grace. There's just one way that a soul can't be lost.
Others have come.
Gotta trample the vine.
Others have made their way up here. I'm still waiting on somebody.
There is a cross in your.
I can't force you to this altar. But maybe you're here and your life has been characterized by bad decision after bad decision. But I want you to know this morning, I will stand flat-footed and tell you, if you'll make your way back to the Father's house, it will be the best decision that you have ever made in your life. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Just a few more moments.
There is
Hallelujah.
A cross in
How about it, friend?
Way.
How about it, friend?
A wall of mercy and grace. There's just one way.
How about it, young person?
Your soul can't be lost.
How about it, mom?
You gotta trample the blood.
How about it, dad?
Climb over the cross. No, it's not easy to stray. There's a cross in your
cross.
Way. There is a cross in your way.
All right, church. I'm going to invite us all, everybody that would, come into these altars. Find somebody
grace.
To pray with. There's people down here that need an experience with God in this service. And as they step down and come to this altar, they've acknowledged that need. Let's join with them this morning.
No, it's not easy to stray. There's a cross in your way. To end up in hell, heaven built a barricade. Times have rotted the wood and the nails. There's something still standing in your way. No, it's not easy to stray. There's a cross in your way. There is a cross in your way. Oh, all of mercy and grace. There's just one way. Your soul can't be lost. Gotta trample the love. No, it's not easy to stray. There's a cross in your